Good morning. All right. Well, how many of you this past week went through something where you really had to trust God? Yeah, well, most of us, I think. I think most of us. Something where something happened, an event, a relationship, something happened. And we're really trusting God because we have no other answer. We have no other way out. We have nothing else we can do. We can't change the issue. But we're trusting God for the outcome. I can't tell you how many prayer requests we get from folks saying, please, here's what's happening in my life. Please pray for a good outcome. It's people with cancer, people with relational problems, people with issues of every kind. Perhaps they lost a job. They don't know what's next. Pray for a good outcome. In the middle of that, and you may still be in the middle of it, and the answer may still not be there, but He has an answer. And praise God, we can trust Him. We sing the song, Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. I wonder if we've learned how to really do that each day that we live. Now, the Lord's been preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He's been talking to His disciples and those who would listen. And He is saying, literally, don't be worried about this world. Don't take too much care for what's going on here. Don't worry about what you're going to eat next or what you're going to drink, or what kind of clothes you're going to have to clothe yourself. Don't be worried about that. Don't be anxious about that, because He says it's the world that worries about those kind of things, and you're not part of the world. You're part of His kingdom. You're part of His family. So you don't have to worry about those things, because you have a Father who knows every need you have. And I'm so grateful for that. Just getting up every morning, finding out if my legs will hold me and I can still stand up. Some of us live right there on that edge, you know. The strength is there. We get up, we move about. We may have to have a few little contraptions to help us. But overall, we still are able. Praise God for that. Or wake up in the morning and say, well, Lord, I'm still here. You've given me another day. At least another hour, perhaps. We don't know when that moment's going to come. But we're here. Here we are, sitting together in this building. And God has blessed us in such a way that we could be here. You think this is just something you do? No, it starts with His work in your life. It starts with what He wants accomplished in you and through you. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. And so He says, don't do that which is detrimental to who you are. Don't spend your life worrying about what's happening here. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear for clothing? Because the unbeliever eagerly seeks all those things. But here's the key. Your heavenly Father knows. Remember what I said about that little phrase in Psalm? He knows. He knows exactly that you need these things, and He will take care of them. So the Lord has given us in His sermon, 3 points. One we talked about last week, which was that we are to understand that we're not part of the world or act like the world or behave like the world. We're not to do the same thing the world does. the contrast between those who are a part of the world system and those who are part of the kingdom of God is immense. It is immense. They do not have a loving Father that they know about or that they've learned about or that they have accepted. And so therefore, they have to worry about how things are going to happen and how they're going to come out in their life. It's all up to them how things will happen. They will learn to lie. They will learn to manipulate. They will learn to try to control things. And all the while worrying about how it's going to turn out. Whereas the believer has a heavenly Father that has said in a sense, you, and I could point at every one of you who know him, you are the apple of his eye. He knows what you need. He loves you in spite of who you are. And we all can look in the mirror and say, eh. He loves you. And he sent his Son to die on the cross for you and to shed his blood for you so that he would pay for your sin and mine and set us free to live and walk and love and have interaction with him, have a growing relationship with him. So we're not to worry like the world worries. Now, I might slip this in. If you're worrying about your relationship with God, and you're worrying about how you're growing in that relationship, and you're worried about not being where you really want to be in that relationship, then worry. But if you're worrying about the world and all that's in it, the Lord says, don't do that. It's detriment to your life. It will pull you down. It will get you depressed. It will make you think that you're a failure. It will do all of those things that will trigger within you this feeling of uselessness and absolutely of no value. And the Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that. But, you know, he doesn't just tell us that we are lacking in faith when we're doing those kind of things. And he does say that, oh, you of little faith. But we learned that that's not quantity, that's scope. Does my faith cover everything in my life? Every aspect, every event, every relationship, everything with my kids, everything with my marriage, everything with everything. God is in control. And it covers all of that, and my faith trusts him with it all. Listen. He says there is a way to increase your faith if you're one of these old little of faith people. First one, understand you're not like the world. You don't act like it. You don't behave like it. You don't think like it. Your perspective is not the same. Because now you're looking at everything through the eyes of your precious Lord. Everything through the eyes of God. But then the second one we want to take on today. And that is this. Recognize that the Father is cognizant of your every need. He knows. He knows. Some of you may be sitting here today and saying to yourself, well, nobody cares about me. I'm kind of on my own and nobody really cares and nobody really pays attention and nobody listens when I'm struggling or hurting. Nobody seems to respond. I guess I'm just alone out here and I'm just, you know, nobody cares. Wrong. Not true. He knows every need you have. Now listen, he doesn't necessarily give you everything you want. That's a whole different category. But he does supply what you need from day to day to go through the storms of life, the struggles of life, the pain of life, and all that's going on in this broken world. All right? He is the source of what you need in all of that. If you're saying to yourself, I have to do this myself, I have to be in control, I have to be the one that makes this happen, I'm the one that has to manipulate to get this to go the way I want it to go, then you're on the wrong track. You need to be praying to God and saying, Lord, Father of my life, I want to know what your will is for my life and what you want to do with me as your child. And help me to know that, accept that, respond to that, and be the one you died for me to be. The people of the world worried, anxious about everything in their lives. But the believer who has God as his Father is not to do that. And if he does, then he reveals one thing. He's not trusting God. She is not trusting God in that thing, whatever it may be. Now recognize that the Father is cognizant. Today we want to talk about that, and it's the next principle that he gives us. This is a way to increase faith. First is recognize the contrast between you and the world. Second is recognize he knows everything about you and he knows every need you have and he will meet those needs according to his plan and his purpose. He feeds, he protects, he keeps watch over us day and night. He goes before us when we are on our way. He leads the way. He's already there in the destination to where we're going. His hands are already on everything we're doing. And he has a plan, and he will always meet the need in order that that plan may be executed for your life. Do not worry then, saying what we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? Come on, do you believe it? Amen? Or do you not? Are you struggling when you should be resting? Are you feeling literally lost and confused and not knowing what's going to be happening next because you're not listening to the Father? Are you worried about what's going to happen today, tonight, tomorrow, or whatever because you're not sure what's coming over the hill next? When he has said, just be concerned about the day. There's enough trouble today. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Are you trusting him for that new job? Are you trusting him for that new home? Are you trusting him in a new relationship? Are you trusting him when it seems like nothing's working? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves, realizing that he knows. The other thing that I would ask you this morning, do you know that he loves you? Do you really know, as his child, that he loves you? In spite of who you are, he loves you. With all your failures, he loves you. With all your weaknesses, he loves you. Even in the middle of that illness you may have, that struggle you may be going through, he loves you. Now let me tell you, or maybe I should just ask you, even in the world system, even when you in your marriages and so forth, when someone loves you, what do they do when they love you? They're there to comfort you. They're there to encourage you. They're there to strengthen your hands. They're there to meet needs that they can, that's within their power. They do that for you. Why? Because they love you. God is almighty. And he loves you. And he's going to do everything within his power to give you what you need to get through the storms and the struggles and the hurts and the pains and all that you're facing day by day. Do you believe that? Faith must include that. It truly must include all of it. He is all powerful to provide everything that you need. So put it this way, the second principle by which you can increase and enlarge your faith is that as a Christian, you should have implicit faith in and reliance upon God as your Heavenly Father. To summarize, nothing can happen to us. Listen now. Nothing can happen to us apart from God. If it is touching your life this morning, it's because He's allowed it and He will use it to deepen your faith, your walk, and your loving relationship with Him. If it's in your life today and you're His child, He has allowed it. And the end result will be, as you are faithful, walking through it, is that He will bless you unendingly. He's made promises to that effect. He knows our situation much better than we know ourselves. It is one of the greatest statements of the Bible, this fact that He knows. I like to use that as the second name for God. The first is, I am anything you need. I am whatever you need. I am. And then He knows. And in knowing, that is motivation for Him in loving kindness and compassion to reach out to you with mercy and with grace, drawing you ever closer into a relationship with Him. But there is a key here, and the key is you need to trust Him and believe Him when He says that to you. You'll never be anywhere, not one of you will ever be anywhere that He does not see you there. And you will never be anything in the depths of your heart, in the innermost recesses of your being, that He doesn't know all about it. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your motivation is. He knows where you're hurting. He knows where that pain is, even when it is at the deepest recesses of our heart and our lives. He knows. He knows. The Hebrew writer put it this way: there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, the King James puts it this way: there is no creature hidden from His sight, but that all things are naked to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We cannot do anything. We cannot think anything. We cannot be motivated by anything. There is nothing going on inside us, in our heart, in our lives, nothing that He doesn't know about. That bad thought you had this morning, it's all recorded. That bad attitude that you grew up, that you woke up with this morning, He already knows about that. That hurt that you're feeling so deep inside, He knows about it already. He is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And because of this, we're to fear the Lord, but also live in the comfort and the knowledge of God. Listen, you cannot walk out of this room, go to your home, go to the restaurant, go to your hairdresser, go to your barber. You can't go any of those places but what He is with you. You take Him with you as His child. He lives within you because you asked Him to. And so wherever you go, He's there with you. And He is to be seen. He wants to be seen. He wants to be seen by those who are around you, in you. And so He's in this process of fixing you, working on you, changing you, so that your perspective is different and your attitudes are different and all that's going on inside you is being changed as He changes your heart from the inside out. So that those around you will see Him and His loving grace and His mercy. He knows all about us in every respect. He therefore knows our every need. Now from that the Lord draws this deduction. He says, you need never to be anxious. You must never be worried. God is with you in this state, whatever it may be. You are not alone. And He is your Father. Do you believe that? Really, in the state you're in right now, do you believe that? Excuse me. If we were to grasp this, really get a hold of it, it would surely cause worry and strain and stress and anxiety to be banished from our life forever. It truly would. Never allow yourself for a moment to think that you are left to yourself and that you are alone, because you're not. You and I must learn to say what the Lord said Himself under the shadow of the cross. He was getting ready to go to the cross. And here's what He said. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You may feel like everybody in the world has deserted you, but you're not alone. He already knows, and He's with you. You may feel like everybody around you does nothing but criticize, and you're hurting. You're not alone. He is with you. He is there to encourage you, to comfort you, to love you, to lift you up, and to get you back on track and walking with Him. That is His promise to us today. Now, the other thing also is that He will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. He said that in Hebrews 13:5. Let's remind ourselves again of Psalm 1, which we just read this morning. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of God, or of the Lord. In His law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatsoever he does, he prospers. Wrap yourself up in that. Just because at the moment you're not sure about something in your life, where you're going to live, what job you're going to have, what kind of education you're going for, whatever it may be, whatever's going on in your life, or whether you're going to be here tomorrow. None of us know that. Wrap yourselves in this truth, that if you walk with Him, you will have His blessing. If you stay with Him, you will delight in His word, in His law. You will truly meditate upon it day and night. It will be your food. And not only that, you will be like a tree planted by the water, always nourished. And the end result is, it will never wither. But in whatever you attempt, whatever you choose, as you walk with Him, as you follow Him, as you trust and obey Him, you will prosper. Now let me clarify prosper. I'm not talking about the fact that you're going to get $1 million in your bank account. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the fact that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. All right? What I am saying is you will have the wisdom of God. You'll have His power and His presence always in your life. And whatever you attempt, He will enable you, as you attempt it for Him, to make sure that it is successful in His meaning of success. We sang a song that says, leave your goods and all your relationships behind and walk with Him. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Psalm 16a. He knows everything about us and every circumstance we're in, every need that we have, every wound, and therefore we can rest quietly and confidently in Him. That brings us to the third principle. Refocus your life and change your priorities. We need to do that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just deal with what is in front of you today by the power and grace of God. And recognize that if you seek His kingdom and His righteousness, He will give you everything you need. But that's the primary focus of your life. That's the first thing that we do. All right? We're told here to focus our lives on seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, which means that we're going to focus on and be actively concentrating and perfecting our relationship to God as our Heavenly Father. We, unlike the unbeliever, are to rely implicitly upon the knowledge of Him as our Heavenly Father. And we are to concentrate on perfecting this knowledge, growing in this knowledge, and therefore growing in our relationship to Him. Seek the first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Now, it may be that the Lord who has spoken of our need to rely on the Father is saying, in effect, not to worry about what the world worries about. But if we want to worry, then worry, as I said earlier, about our relationship with the Father. That is the thing to concentrate on. That is the thing that's most important. Make it a first priority in your life. That concern should be the first and foremost of all in our lives. You remember how the Lord's Prayer goes? You know how it goes. It starts out by, pray then this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Zip, that's the first part of the prayer. That's your first focus. Only after you've done that do you come to the words, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today forgiveness for our debts, as we have learned to forgive others. And then at the very end of that thing, it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God focus, God's the focus of our life. You can go through so many tough, hard things if you know that you're hand in hand with the Savior, that He's living in you, He's living out of you, He's enabling you, He's comforting you, He's empowering you, He's leading you. You can go through things you thought you never could go through. I've seen people do it, and I look at them and I'm amazed. Not only in the culture in which we live today, but back through the history of the church, the many who were literally killed for their faith, sawn apart, burned in fire, all these things. And at that moment, God gave grace and power to declare Him, even as their life was taken from them. I almost look in the mirror and look at myself and say, I don't really believe this. If I did, I would be living differently. I don't really believe this, or I wouldn't be doing it this way. And I have to constantly correct myself with the Word of God. It is the standard by which we live. To remember again, God, let me get rid of this stuff and get my focus back on You. It doesn't matter that I don't have a job at the moment. You'll provide one when the time is right. It doesn't matter that we don't have a house yet, because You're going to provide one when the time is right, and it'll be Your choice. I'm not married yet, but I'm thinking about it, but I'm not there yet, and You'll provide that when and if You choose that for my life. And I can trust You with that. Can you trust God this morning like that? I don't know all the struggles you're all having. I know you're having them, because nobody in this world that doesn't have them. And I have them. And so I know that all of you are struggling with something where you're needing to trust God, needing to rely on your Father, needing to know and understand that He knows about this issue. It's not something that slipped by Him. He knows it. And maybe this morning in your heart, you have yet to receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord. But you want to. You think it sounds like an answer to the issues of your life, that He loves you that much. Then I would encourage you, just bow your head right where you are this very moment. He will hear that prayer. And just say, Father, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to repent and turn and walk with You and guide me and direct me and be my life. He'll do that. He'll do that for you. He's waiting for you to say that, to ask for that. And you who are believers, He's waiting for you to throw your hands up and say, I can't do it. But God, You can. I don't have the answer, but God, You do. I don't know where this is going, but God, You're ahead of me. You're already at the destination, so I trust it. He's asking for that kind of commitment, refocusing our life on Him, His will for our lives, what it is He's called us to. What kind of gifts has He given you? Some of you are good teachers. Some of you are just really have a heart to serve, like I've never seen in some people. Some of you know how to pray, really know how to pray. Some of you have this gift of making money and you don't know what to do with all of it, right? Use it for the kingdom of God. That's why He gave you the gift. Use whatever gift you have in a calling to which He will lead you to, in a ministry that He will provide for you, and use it for His glory. Always coming from a place of a grateful heart for all He's done for you and for me. Seek first then the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek it. So what does it mean when it says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? Well, He's not telling His hearers how to make themselves Christians. That's not what He's saying. But He's telling them how to behave because they are Christians. That's what the Sermon on the Mount was all about from the very beginning. It was not a list of rules to follow. It was never given as a list for us, an external list for us to adhere to and follow like we do New Year's resolutions. We know how that works out. That's not what He was doing. What He was doing was saying, this is who you are. These are what should be flowing out of you, these great beatitudes, these great things. These are be flowing out of you because you are God's child. Now, we are in the kingdom of God. We want to seek His face more and more. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. I love that verse. Be diligent. That's the key word, diligent. What does diligent mean? I seek it. I go after it. I pursue it. I'm diligent. I don't give up. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking His righteousness. Seeking. You know, we often quote the verse that says, you know, we're to seek, we're to knock, we're to do what we're supposed to do, and then God will open the door. It takes diligence to do that. And I love it when some of you younger Christians come and say to me, I want God's best. I want what God wants for me. I want to show Him to the world. I want to be used by Him. I love that. I love it because that's exactly where you should be. That's the heart's desire you should have. And He's in you to make that happen, and He will, and He hears that. And He will give you whatever you need for that to take place. The Christian is meant to be seeking the face of the Lord daily, constantly, and he or she makes time to do so. Colossians 3, 2 and 3, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When did you die? You died with Him on the cross. Now, your life is hidden in Him. And now, the affections of your mind and of your heart are to be set on the things above. That is, on the kingdom of God. On His righteousness. Holy living. Holy living. That's why the addition of holiness is put there. Holiness and righteousness. Blessed above those are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? They shall be satisfied. That's a promise. Seek His face. Seek His kingdom. Seek His holiness and righteousness. And if you do, you will be satisfied, God said. You will be satisfied. The Christian is seeking to be more like Jesus. This means a life of holiness. We're seeking a life of positive holiness, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And we're to be doing that. This is the third principle, which helps us to increase our faith. If we're doing these three things, remember, we're to realize we're not part of the world, but a member of the kingdom. Then grasp hold of the truth that the Father knows everything about you and knows what your need is. And then on top of that, refocus your life and get your focus back on Him. And off of the things of the world and the people and the events and the relationships and all the rest of it. Because when you focus on Him and His life begins to flow through you, all of these things will be met. They will all be met. We need the change that Jesus is talking about here. We do. So our faith will grow and extend to all parts of our life. Every corner of that life as we focus on Him, on His kingdom, on His righteousness. And that is translated into holy living, holiness, doing the right thing. We know when we don't do the right thing. We may be out somewhere where we think nobody knows what we're doing or who we are, what we're involved in, and we do things we shouldn't do. We've forgotten one thing. He's right there. He knows. And then we come back and we try to be part of the fellowship because we want to be. We do truly from our hearts, we want to be. But we have sinned and we know it. And we need to confess it, repent,